I've just come from a whole weekend of praise and worship, of just worship all weekend. We went away and did it. And it really changed me because we just did nothing but worship for hours and hours and hours. And how many here have a prayer language? Have your prayer language? Okay, if you don't have your prayer language, we need to pray for you that you receive it, because this is very important, okay? And there's such a thing as singing in the Spirit, okay? It's in the Bible, and it's Ephesians 5:19. Paul said, singing to yourselves, that's each other, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, psalms and hymns, they can be from the mind. You know, we're three parts, mind, spirit, and body, okay? The soul, the mind is the soul. Soul, spirit, and body. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. The body is our physical flesh, okay? The spirit is that God-given spark inside us that is directly connected through the Holy Spirit to God the Father, to Jesus, okay? And that the body and the soul are supposed to be in subjection to the Spirit. Amen. Okay? So that is how he speaks to us through our spirits. And speaking in tongues is speaking the words of the Holy Spirit. We don't understand them. They bypass the soul. Singing in the Spirit bypasses the mind. I mean, there have been many beautiful hymns and songs written, and I love them all. I love to sing them. I love to think on Jesus and meditate on him. But if you want to open that pipeline in the Holy Spirit, singing in the Spirit will open that pipeline. It's like turning the faucet on the water, and the water comes out. Okay, the water will never come out if we don't turn the faucet. Okay, so when we're having praise and worship here, first of all, we all need to participate and sing. I'm not trying to say this being like legalistic or something, but it has nothing to do with if we feel like it or not, because our feelings are deceptive and they're subject to our bodies and our moods, but our spirit wants to have expression through us. Okay, he wants to express himself through each one of us. So when it comes time for praise and worship, we need to give the Spirit room to do something, okay? Sing, worship, and then sing in the Spirit. And if you've never sung in the Spirit, it's really easy. Just open up your mouth and let it come out. And, you know, you don't have to sing some kind of thing. You know, you don't even have to listen to yourself. Just do it, and it will open up the pipeline of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. And that Holy Spirit will begin to change your emotions. It's going to change your mind. It's going to bring the anointing in the room. If we all do it together, it will bring the anointing here. It will open up the channel for the prophetic word to come out, for the preached word to come out, for God to move in healing, for faith, for everything, okay? It's like the door to open up to having the Spirit move. And I think sometimes on Sunday mornings we've forgotten that. I think we really need, every Sunday morning, we need to sing in the Spirit together. We need to pray in the Spirit together as a body and let the Holy Spirit move in our midst. Okay, we need to come here with our hearts expectant and praying for that. Amen. So, and I'm going to sing in the Spirit, and you sing. It's easier for me to sing in the Spirit than to speak in tongues, because it just flows, okay? Okay, when I was not saved, I got taken to a Jesus People meeting at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Wilmington, Delaware. And they started having Jesus People meetings in their fellowship hall. I went in there, and the room was packed with like high school kids, high schoolers mostly. And everybody was sitting around a circle on the floor. They were like little, everybody had like a little carpet square. And they were sitting around the floor, their little carpet squares with their legs crossed. And there was just one guy in the middle, a couple guys, and they were just leading some simple choruses, simple scripture choruses, okay, which I'd never heard before, but I thought, hey, this is great. I was singing along. And then all of a sudden, it kind of stopped, and then another song came out that I'd never heard before, and I'd never heard anything like it before. It was singing in the Spirit, and everybody was singing in the Spirit, and it was beautiful. It was just like a wind blowing through the place. And I'm like, wow, what is that? I've never heard anything like that before. Amen. So, and if you don't have your prayer language, If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you. We don't have to do it right here in front of everybody, but we want to pray for you to receive that because it's really, really important. Worthy, 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 yes. Worthy, worthy, yes. Oh, la, 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 my, oh, la, 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 my.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Just want to just share one thing about that, too. You know, there are times when, as a singer, we'll sing something that's of the Spirit, but then also we'll play something. And it may be just a very simple tune, something like, you know. So during the worship time, you may just hear like a little melody or a guitar will play something. And it's not just us jamming. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by jamming, right? That means just playing spot. But it's more than that. The Holy Spirit. So what happens is we listen. We listen. And as we hear the Holy Spirit, as people are playing, you'll sense the anointing on a particular thing that God is doing in the music. You'll hear it in the music. So like yesterday, we were worshiping the Lord. And then the keyboard gal, Carolyn, she just started playing and singing, and the Holy Spirit was all over it. We knew it. We knew it. So I'm like, I'm back there helping with the sound. I jump out of the sound room. I'm like running up. Yay, God. Come on, God. Let's go for it. So that's sort of my job anyway. I'm kind of like the coach. You know what I'm saying? So if there's an anointing that comes, and you'll be in a room of people, okay, you'll be in a room of people, and either it'll be someone, and you'll find someone singing a song of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will like highlight it or just do something to it. And you'll go, yeah, that's it. And so my philosophy is, if God is moving in fire, throw some wood on it.
When I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was in college. I was a freshman in college, okay? And I was from a Presbyterian background. I really didn't know much of anything, okay? I was very, you know. And I spoke in tongues a couple times, and then I felt like when I tried to do it again, I felt like a blockage. I just felt like, I can't do this. I can't. I don't want to hear myself. I mean, I guess it was self-consciousness or just my flesh, my soul, you know. I'd been raised, you know, my mother making fun of holy rollers and stuff like that, you know. And I didn't even know what a holy roller was, you know. I thought it was Baptist. That's how my background was, or Methodist or something, you know. But then I talked to a brother, Alex Watson, and he said, look, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. And it's going to open up. You're going to get much more. It's going to start to flow. You'll get more. A flow, you'll get a facility, it'll start to come to you. And I started to do that. I took his advice. It was hard at first, but I just kept doing it. And I felt like a pipe opening up inside me. I just felt it going down my whole body, a pipe opening up inside me, and just clear water and light flowing in through that pipe in me. And it was the Holy Spirit. And I just felt all cleaned out inside. I just felt all cleaned out, and I just kept. I kept doing it and got better and better, you know, got more and more at ease. So don't, if it's hard for you, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you got the gift of tongues, and it's hard for you to use that gift, just do it. Just do it. And it's going to get easier. It's going to get, and you're going to get more and more anointing. You're going to hear from God more and more. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Marianne. And listen, you got to hear me on this too. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was raised in a church where we tried to be as good as we could at whatever we did, singing and playing and all that kind of stuff. But then when I got filled with the Spirit, something changed in me. And let me tell you what happened. I realized, and I was raised as a musician to perform, okay? So that means you practice really hard, you get everything together, then you get up there and you do the best you can. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord told me that's not church. The church is not a performance. So where did I get filled with the Holy Spirit? In the basement of a house in Hicksville, New York. Hicksville. The piano wasn't in tune. The piano had missing keys. It didn't sound great. You see what I'm saying? It went against my grain. I was used to playing on really nice pianos. practicing and getting everything just right. Yeah. It's about the presence of the Lord. And God will make you do stuff that you're not ready for. You're just not ready for it. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. It's not about what they say, skinny jeans and fog machines. It's not about that. They put their trust in the way the pastor dresses and looks. They darken the church so nobody can participate or cares if they do. They can just stand there and watch. See what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying that's not us. That doesn't encourage the worship. One thing that I loved about going down to Jesus' image in Kulianas, they left the lights on. Thank you, Lord. Hands were raised everywhere. Singing in the Spirit, not just like 10 seconds. I mean, 10 minutes. 15, 30. I like this place. You know, they're hard to find. I'm sorry to say that. And I don't ever want us to go there. And I'm going to give you the one thing. I'm going to give you scripture here. We're going to talk about it. But we got Psalm 45 about grace being on our lips, okay? But I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 27. And I want us to look at this thing about, I want you to see the story about Esau, okay? And I want you to see in Genesis chapter 27 why Esau was the way he was. Just start in verse 1. Genesis 27. So, like, I'm not going to be reading exact words, verses. I'm just going to be telling the story. But I will start off with the scripture here. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here am I." So the first thing we know in this story, that somebody in this story couldn't see. Their vision, their five senses. Your head has your five senses, right? Right. Obviously, touch goes through your whole body, but you can see, you hear, you smell, you've got your taste, all of that in the head. That's your soul. Marianne was talking about your soul. This is the place of the soul. This is your body, your physical flesh, your spirit's here. All right, so you got your soul, spirit, body. Put your hand on your tummy, and I'm going to tell you why. This represents your flesh. It's your gut. When you get angry, when you get out of control, or you get hungry and you do the wrong stuff, if you obey the flesh, you're obeying what's going on down here. And same thing with all the sins of the flesh. They all go from more or less, they generate from the gut. Physically, when you get angry, how many of you get all tied up down here when you get really angry and wrong? Okay, you can feel this down here. And the lust of the flesh, there. Okay, the heart is the spirit. The head is what you're thinking. And you want these all to be ruled by what's going on here. That's what Marianne was saying. So I like physical illustrations because I'm a visual kind of guy. Okay, I like seeing it so I can see it. Okay, so here's a story about Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And he said, he says, "Take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me." This is hunting season, folks. "And prepare for me delicious food as I love." Everybody say delicious food that I love. So what was running Isaac? His appetite, his flesh. And he couldn't see. He was limited in what he could see. He was hurting. And then, so Jacob, working with mama, finds a way to create fake hunting game, right? He said, "Go kill that chicken out there. Forget, go hunt. Go ahead and just make something. I'll make it. He won't know," right? She did all that, okay? And he said, "What if Dad finds out?" He says, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." All right? And then you get down here, and we're going to scroll on down, and you go out here, verse 26. This is very interesting here. Now, I want you to hear all the terms and all the words that have to do with feelings and flesh, okay? Verse 26, his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me. Smooch. Sloppy, wet kiss, like the song. And so then what happened? After he kissed him, what was Isaac doing? Come on. He's smelling. What was Isaac going by? Exactly. The smell of the food, the smell of his son. He thought Jacob was, he thought that was Esau. But he was going by his flesh. See? This whole story is about the flesh. He's smelling the garments. Kiss me. You know what I mean? Okay? And then he goes, oh, this is good. And so then he blesses him, right, with the blessing. And then Esau comes in just after this happens, all right? And verse 33, he goes, here am I. I'm back. I've got your game ready to cook it. And then Isaac trembles very violently. What's that? Flesh. Emotions. Killing me, right? He's like, roar. Right? So all of this stuff is going on. And then Esau hears the words of his father in verse 34. And he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. Bitter. Soul. Flesh. They're yelling, right? He says, bless me, even me also, my father. Now, let me say this. What we're going to learn from this passage is blessing doesn't come by the flesh. And Esau was about as fleshly as he could, crying out for blessing, and it didn't happen, and it won't happen. God won't bless the cry of the flesh. He won't do it. It won't work. So he cried out. He says, bless me also, my father. And then, of course, your brother came deceitfully, and he's taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? So the question that we know absolutely for sure, was Jacob doing the right thing or the wrong thing? He was wrong, baby. He was deceitful. He wasn't doing the right thing. But did he get the blessing? Yes. Why? Because he did it by the Spirit. And God is a forgiver of those. God forgives sin to bless you. That's the thing we got to understand, that we don't have to walk perfectly to get the blessing. God will take, this is what irritates some people. You realize what irritates some people is that God will use somebody that is not perfect.
That's all he has to work with.
Am I right? Am I right? I'm serious. It's the Lord's mercies that are new. And that's how Jacob got the blessing. It was through the grace and the mercy of God, not the flesh. The flesh is when you try to do everything just right and get everything right, but all we're seeing is flesh out of Esau. All we're seeing is flesh out of Isaac. And Jacob, all he wanted was the blessing. He just did what Mama said. So I want you to see this. He said, haven't you reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I've made him Lord over you. So that means the man of the spirit is Lord over the man of the flesh. Can somebody say amen to that? The man of the spirit is Lord over the man of the flesh. And all his brothers I've given to him for servants. That means that when you're a man of the spirit, you have all the help that you need. I've sustained him. So what else is there? Well, you have the Holy Spirit. When you're a man of the Spirit, you're a man that is blessed. Then you're going to receive everything that God has for you. And he says, have you not one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And his father said, no, there's not a blessing. You look at these words. There is not one blessing for a man of the flesh. The man of the flesh cannot receive the promises of God. The man of the flesh will not receive the promises of God. He says, behold, that's not a blessing. He goes, the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. Away from the blessing, he's saying. You're going to be gone from it, far from it. By your sword you shall live. That's not a blessing, is it? Is it? No. And you'll serve your brother. When you grow restless, you'll break the yoke from his neck. But none of that's what God's calling for. And then Esau hated Jacob. So there's hate because of the blessing of which his father had blessed him. See? So there is a permanent, eternal dividing line between being of the flesh and being of the spirit. Permanent, total, no compromise, no blessing. God is very clear. It says, walk ye in the spirit, and you shall not gratify the lusts of the flesh. It's not by the lusts of the flesh that anyone's going to see God, period. It's absolutely true. Now, are you convinced, or do I need to give you more scripture? I'm serious. Turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 8. Come on, I'm going to give it to you. Now, can you get the second barrel now? Are you ready for the second barrel? Paul is preaching about this very section. Okay? This very section. And so, praise God. Thank you, Lord. The mint in my mouth, Jan, is starting to dissolve. Praise God. She knows what that means. Okay. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. All right, here it is in white and black. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God. Can somebody say amen to that? Is that a yes? Is that a total one way or the other? That means that the flesh is not the children of God. You're not the children of God because of your flesh. Everybody, and remember, flesh is your physical thing, but it deals with this too. You know what I mean? You ain't being the children of God if you're functioning based on what this is telling you to do. Okay? But the children of the promise that are counted as the offspring or the seed of God. And not only so, okay, I'm going to skip two verses there about this next time. But the promise said, about this time next year, I will return and Sarah will have a son. Did Sarah have that child by the strength of her flesh? No way. No way. Abraham said, my flesh is what? As good as dead. And Sarah too. They bore a child as a picture of the only way you can bring birth. The promise of God is by the power of God. That was the only way it was going to happen. There was no way it was going to happen in the flesh that Sarah was going to bring forth the baby. It had to be the Holy Spirit. Had to be. He was dead in his body. And then it says, not only so, listen to this, but when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of the works of the flesh, so to speak, works, but because of him who calls. Okay? She was told the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. I love the Holy Spirit. I hate the flesh. God hates the flesh. What should we say then? Is there any injustice on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God. It's got nothing to do with your flesh, and it's not your will or exertion. It doesn't depend on it. The only thing that we depend on is the power of God. God needs to teach his church that we are put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. Don't put confidence in the flesh. Don't put confidence in things. Now, if you're in the world, yeah, you're going to, don't mean you don't go, doesn't mean if you're in the world, don't, you know, get dressed. Go to work. Don't go to work in your PJs. Wait a minute. People still do that now. Okay. I can't use that as an example. Let's try another example. You know what I mean? Hear what I'm saying? Yes, you do. I believe in excellence, but not the kingdom of God like that. It's not about human will. It's not about exertion. It's about the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And I want us to not put our confidence in this thing. Don't let it hold you back from stepping out in faith. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the promises of God. Don't be ruled by the flesh. I want you to know that you know that you know that God will not bless the flesh like that. He died in the flesh. Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He died in the flesh so that we could be a new creation. We can be a new creation. And he's going to take our flesh and what does it say? And when he comes again and we're resurrected, we're going to have new bodies. Amen. I thank God for that. He's going to transform it into his image. Praise the Lord.
You know, Esau, from the time he was born, he knew he was the oldest. He was the one. They were twins, but Esau came out first. Okay, but Jacob was hanging on to his heel as he came out because he wanted to be first. God had put something in Jacob from his conception that he was going to be the one that God was going to bless. So Esau took for granted that birthright. He took it for granted. He didn't care. He was complacent. You know what I mean? He just went on his life, did what he wanted to do. He knew that he was going to get that birthright, and he didn't have to worry about it. So he didn't. He just did what he wanted to do. He lived his life. He went hunting. He followed the desires of his flesh. He did whatever. But Jacob was jealous. Jacob wanted that blessing. He wanted it so bad. He was willing to do anything to get that blessing. Amen? He wanted it. So Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and violent men take it by force. And what that means is people are, you have to press in violently to enter into the kingdom. You have to want what Jesus has for you. You have to want what God has for you and not be complacent. I'm born again. Amen. I'm filled with the Spirit. I have a great church. God's blessing me. I've got it. Well, you know what I mean? We can't be complacent and just sit back like that. We've got to keep pressing in to take the kingdom of God. Amen?